My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Kind of. I mean, we could have played the Wizards or the Capitals or Capital One Arena, or Grant eats a chicken tender basket and watches sports on 7th Street. Because really, we just want an update on that venue. And Eric Flack, who's the reporter who wins awards over at Channel 9 for breaking news and investigating things like stadium deals, is joining us now. So, Eric, you came out today with a pretty big bombshell. We had the big press conference, and Ted Leonsis and the mayor, Muriel Bowser, hugged, and everything was awesome. And D.C. is going to be the home of the Wizards and the Capitals for decades. Except it sounds like nothing's actually been finalized and no paperwork's been signed.
Yeah, I was surprised to find this one out, Grant. You know, all I was looking for was a copy of the contract to read through it. And I come to find out through some open records requests that the contract has not been signed. What was signed is what's called a term sheet. It lays out generally what the agreement is, but there's a lot of details that have to be ironed out. That term sheet gave the two sides, D.C. government, Department of Economic Development, and Leonsis and Capital One and Monumental, gave them 4 months to basically hammer out a deal. Well, that deadline has passed. Now, within the language, there's a 30-day expansion. And we're in that extra 30-day window. After that expires, which would happen sometime in the middle of next month, Monumental could take this deal to arbitration. The clock is ticking, though, because the money is supposed to start flowing to Monumental when the fiscal year begins, October 1st. For that to happen, this deal has to be finalized and approved by D.C. Council for that money to flow and for the renovations at Capital One to begin.
So what's the worst case here? The arbitration? I mean, if that happens, obviously the team's still going to play there in perpetuity, and the average consumer may notice no difference, right? I mean, so what's the worst case?
Yeah, I think it is, out of fairness, important to note that both the city and Monumental are downplaying this. They say this is just all part of the process. I mean, there's language to say that if this doesn't happen, we're back to square one. If Monumental doesn't get its money, there's language in the term sheet to say not only can Leonsis take the Caps and Wizards back to Virginia or wherever else he wants to go, but there's language in it to say you can move the Wizards. So, which to me says move out of the D.C. market altogether. Now, again, a lot of this language is my interpretation. Everybody's being really tight-lipped about it. But the worst-case scenarios, we're back to square one. I don't think it's going to get there. Everybody is telling me it's not going to get there. But it is notable that we're this far down the road, and the ink has not actually been signed to the final deal that would lead to this long-term lease expansion, the Caps and Wizards staying in D.C. long-term, and maybe most important for the consumer, all that money, you know, sprucing up Capital One, which desperately needs it.
Eric Flack, Channel 9, WSA-TV in town, an investigative journalist who covers a lot of things we don't talk to him about, and then the things we talk to him about are normally stadium deals, which seem to be never-ending around here. Speaking of which, while I have you, I'd be remiss if I didn't get an update on what seems to be a holding pattern. You know more than I do, so maybe I'm wrong, but what is going on with the RFK site and the ongoing conversation between, you know, Blackie Wetzel's family and Steve Daines and the Commanders? Yeah. Are we still just waiting on essentially Steve Daines to stop dragging his feet?
No, I mean, I think we're waiting on the Wetzel family to give the go-ahead. As I reported, and I think one other journalist has reported, they're going to honor this Wetzel family at the home opener, most likely the home opener. They're hoping that appeases the family enough that they are on board with removing whatever objection they have. Daines has said he will remove his objection as soon as the family removes their objection.
Okay, but let's say that happens, Eric. The other thing you had floated at one point to us was that there were a couple of Maryland lawmakers that are kind of waiting and laying in the weeds to then be the next fly in the ointment. So it's not like we just start sprinting toward RFK at that point.
Oh, 1,000% not. In fact, you know, I get a sense from a number of different people who are associated with this process that there is nobody who assumes anymore that this bill is actually going to pass through Congress. I've been told that the fact that it's election year is problematic. The Maryland lawmakers are problematic. If Daines does not get out of the way, he's powerful enough that that's going to be problematic. It could have problems getting out of the subcommittee because you have senators like Bernie Sanders, even on the Democratic side, who don't want to see any sort of, like, anything help out a billionaire like Josh Harris. And everybody knows this is about the potential to put the stadium there. Nobody's, like, you know, kidding themselves about that. So I get the sense more and more that this is no guarantee. And then Josh Harris and his team would have to decide, do we wait another year, try this all again in the next Congress, thereby pushing back this process again? They've already said, we're now looking at 2030 at the earliest before we get a new stadium, wherever it is. And so I think, you know, I think that Harris and his team, if in fact it does not get through Congress, the RFK bill, they are going to be facing a big, big question about whether to move forward in Maryland or Virginia or wait another year and push the entire process back by another year.
Wow. So what's the timeline then, before I let you go on that? Like, when is the hit the wall date that if it doesn't happen by X, they've got to wait a year or pivot to Westmore and Virginia, you know, Maryland or Virginia?
I've been told nothing's going to happen until after the election. And then everybody's going to come back and get everything done that has to get done before all the congressmen and senators, and this has already passed the House, we're in the Senate now, goes on their Christmas vacations and gets out of town.
Is that like mid-December, or when is that?
Yeah, mid-December. We are looking. One person familiar with the process on Capitol Hill told me their game, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but who do they play the second week in December? Like, they said it would probably be that game, the second week in December, before
that would be the Saints.
It was either the Saints or somebody else, but it's one of those games in December. They said Saints, I'm looking at a schedule. Yeah, it's, I think, around middle of December, I was told. Maybe Titans, December 1st, Saints December 15th. You know, it could be as late as the Eagles December 22nd, but you're getting pretty close to Christmas and the Senators and everybody wants to go home. So it's going to be the middle of December before we know for sure.
Oh, just such a holding pattern.
Such a holding pattern. I know. Hey, but we still have FedEx or whatever it's called. So
yeah, called. We don't have a name anymore.
Redskins Park? Redskins Commanders.
I was watching Moneyball the other night,
which is such a good movie,
by the way.
So good. So good.
And there's like a song that his daughter came up with that she sings throughout the whole movie. It's like a real life song, but it's in the movie is the little girl song. And it's, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. You know that? And it's like,
totally.
That's me with this, just trying to be a fan of this team, man. They changed the name because they have to. Now someone's mad they changed the name and the logo, so they don't get the stadium. It's like, hey, man, I just want to watch football. So whenever you get a chance, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle.
It's not that much to ask, Grant. It's really not.
Thank you, Eric. Good catching up, brother.
All right. Take it easy. Happy Friday, guys. Bye.
Tell him I'm sorry I kept him so long there on the blitz, but there was a lot of ground to cover with our guy, Eric Flack.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.